complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to open up his holy word of truth to us. I'll ask your prayerful attention to the psalm we read, Psalm number 22, and in particular verse 24. Psalm 22, verse 24. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. This 24th verse of the 22nd Psalm. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Dear friends, this is a solemn psalm of David's. David appears as he was, in great trouble. Many of his psalms are based on his experience. And we thank the Lord for the psalms, for how often the experience within them can meet our own case today. But dear friends, where many of his psalms begin in a time of trouble and distress and anxiety and cares, they end in faith in God. They end in a rejoicing that the Lord will appear. And sometimes at the end of his psalms, the Lord has appeared. And some of his psalms are psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of praise. Dear friends, they're a testimony, aren't they, of the life of David, through all the varied, changing scenes of life. As he've just sung, what opposites I feel within. David knew these opposite seasons in his life. But dear friends, do you notice that several of his psalms are prophecies? Prophecies concerning Jesus, the coming Son of God. You can perhaps think about straight away into the second psalm. Oh, is that not a psalm concerning the coming of the Son of David, where the Lord says, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, a victor over the power of sin and of Satan. We can think of David, when he wrote that psalm, as we know it, Psalm 40. He was in the miry clay. There he waited for the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry and delivered him and set him upon that place where he established his goings, upon a rock. And as we read some verses later, we read the voice of Jesus. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Lo, I come. Lo, I come. And dear friends, it was only through his coming there in that glorious prophecy Oh, that David could be established on that rock, established in the way of a believing faith in the Son of God who was to come. We read much of Christ, don't we? In the prophecies. Why, that Psalm 110 a bit later on. The Lord speaking through the psalm, "Thou art my son." Oh yes, the Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou on my right hand till I make all thy enemies thy footstool." Again, the victory of Jesus Christ over sin. And low down in that psalm, the testimony of his priesthood, the prophecy of his priesthood. "Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." A high priest, one who would not bring a lamb or a bull or a goat from under the law, but a priest who would offer his own self, his own body, a sacrifice on Calvary's cross, to blot out the sins of many, of all that the Father had given him, and to whom that Spirit of truth would reveal the saving grace of Christ in those sinners' hearts. And thou art a priest forever. Oh, when Jesus said to those on the Emmaus road, didn't he? He opened up to them in all the scriptures, the law, the prophets, the psalms, all the things concerning him. Dear friends, before that Psalm 110, we have a Psalm 109, a most solemn psalm. A psalm which Peter referred to in that upper room after Christ had ascended on high. A prophecy of the work of Judas Iscariot and his judgment. The wrath of God upon him. Not just upon his own self, but upon all his family, and upon all his offspring, and upon all his possessions, to be brought to utter destruction and despair. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn case was Judas. A means, the means. What a mystery where Jesus said, "I have not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." The means to betray the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ into the hands of those who desired to take him and slay him. But they could only do it as he laid down his life. Power to lay down his life. And dear friends, we read of that in this psalm. We've read Psalm 22, don't we? What a prophecy it is of his sufferings on the cross at Calvary. My God, it starts. Why hast thou forsaken me? The cry of Jesus as he hung there in the agony of body, mind and soul, pouring out his soul unto death. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a depth he came into. The hiding of his Father's face. And all those that stood before him, we read of in verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, "He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Oh, you read in Matthew 27 what they said to Jesus as he hung upon the cross. Even those words. Oh, dear friends, how true is the Holy Scriptures, aren't they? Every word, a word of truth. Every prophecy is one that comes to pass. We know not how, we know not when. Oh, but it shall come. And so it came concerning the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that fullness of time. Oh, how they said to him, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Oh, they laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip. He trusted on the Lord, they trusted in him, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delights in him. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. All my bones are out. Oh, dear friends, what a cruel punishment crucifixion was. Hanging there, nailed to that cross. When it was lifted up from the ground, it was jarred into the earth, banged into the earth. And dear friends, that banging, that jarring into the earth, so the ones hanging on that cross, their bones were out of joint. Oh, dear friends, what pain, what affliction. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaw. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Dear friends, what a solemn sight that must have been to those that looked upon him. But those dogs, he says, the dogs have compassed me. The dogs, of course, being the heathen. Those soldiers that mocked him, that crowned him with thorns, that put on that robe of scarlet and smote him on the head with a reed and then took him out to crucify him. They pierced my hands and my feet. And yet how willing was Jesus to die, that guilty sinners like we should live. He says, I may count all my bones. Dear friends, not a bone of him was broken. The scripture tells us, and it wasn't. They look and stare upon me, and they part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. Oh, what detail, dear friends, is in the prophecies of scripture concerning the sufferings of Jesus. That vesture, that robe, woven from the top to the bottom, without a seam. They said, come, let us cast lots upon it. We will not rend it. Now, dear friends, these things are in the Psalm of David. David was in great trouble. And we find mingled with these things his own case, his own condition. Dear friends, how the sufferings of Christ are mingled with our own sufferings. His sufferings greater than ours. But there's nothing taken place, dear friends, in the lives of his people which the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't witnessed and known of himself. His sufferings greater than ours. Oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the cry of David in his condition. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Seems as if the Lord had shut out his prayer. Dear friends, David was in a very low state, wasn't he? He says how his fathers had trusted in God. They trusted that the Lord would deliver them. And they were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded, but oh, himself. He suffered the reproach of men and was despised of the people. You know, we have it in another psalm, don't we? When the psalmist is cast down in his soul. Why, oh, the people said unto him, where is now thy God? Where is now thy God? Dear friends, do you know anything of that in your life? In circumstances that come, difficulties, troubles, oh, they play upon you. Even maybe your sins. What a burden. And you cry unto the Lord in your trouble, and there seems to be no answer. Well, dear friends, Jesus felt the same. He's been tempted in all points such as you have. Yet he without sin. He knows the way you take. There's nothing unknown to him in all that we can experience in our earthly life. Now, this should be a comfort to us, shouldn't it? Perhaps there are people who say to us, knowing that we believe in God, that we go to the house of God, that we worship God, and they see us in our troubles, our difficulties. Many things have risen against us. Where is now thy God? Surely he would not let you come into this if he was your God, even if he was a God. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, dear friends, these things search us out, don't they? Especially when troubles come. We read, don't we? It's our iniquities which separate between us and our God. And our sins have hid his face from us. Dear friends, in the exercise of difficulties and troubles, anxieties, cares, and all that press us down, cast us down, how we should search out our hearts, shouldn't we? Am I walking in the ways of sin? Do I regard iniquity in my heart? For David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Dear friends, how we need, don't we? In all those things that come against us, to plead earnestly, the Lord will be mindful of us in our sinful state and pardon our sins. When Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was he not bearing the iniquities and the sins of his people? Was he not blotting it out from beneath the law, the righteous law of God? Was he not paying the price, a price you could never pay yourselves? Oh, once we are sinners. We are sinners, aren't we? We cannot do anything to blot out our transgression. But, oh, faith in Jesus, to continue in prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Looking unto Jesus, believing that he is able to blot out all our transgressions, to love us freely. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Because he himself was afflicted. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We'd esteem him afflicted, stricken. Oh, dear friends, to look by Christ upon faith, knowing that he has gone before us and he knows the way we take. He's gone that way to keep us in the way that is everlasting. As we call upon him like David called upon him, out of that miry clay, to set his feet upon a rock and establish his going. A sinner, as David was, but saved by grace. Friends, there's many things here, isn't there, of David's experience. But you know, dear friends, the Lord has suffered them all in his room, in his place, and in his stead. Oh, David speaks of the bulls of Bashan. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Oh, we may well, and we do at times, come into those times, those seasons, when Satan is ready to devour us up, walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And dear friends, those are most solemn times, aren't they, in our soul, when we've got no strength to deliver ourselves from his threatening power. Oh, you're a sinner. There's no hope for you. Stirring up unbelief within our hearts, whispering those lies. Oh, like Paul had a messenger of Satan to buffet him. But dear friends, Satan could not devour those for whom he desired to devour. Oh, Jesus said of the disciples, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. Sifting is a separating work, isn't it? To separate you from your faith, from your trust. Separate you from the grace. Separate you from your faith. But dear friends, Satan cannot do that. Oh, call upon him in the day of trouble. He said, I will deliver thee. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has overcome the power of Satan. He knows that he still walks about like that roaring lion. He knows he desires to have the Lord's people. For if he could bring one of them down from that grace, dear friends, he's gained the victory over all the world and all the word of God, hasn't he? Christ is death. Oh, it has failed. He hasn't paid the price for every sin. He hasn't delivered everyone from their guilt, whom God the Father gave to him. No, but he heareth the cry of the destitute. He looks down from heaven. He knows, dear friends, just exactly as you are. And he have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet we without sin. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. Oh, but you say he has. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, that's where we, in our weakness of faith and our lack of trust. Oh, dear friends, we do not cry unto him and believe and trust in him as we should. In our own spirit and not in the spirit of God. The Lord is ever mindful of his people. You're never hid from his sight. Those disciples toiling in rowing on the lake when Jesus sent them away after feeding the 5,000 and he went up into that mountain to pray. Oh, they toiled in rowing. Perhaps they prayed for the Lord Jesus to be with them. Oh, why hast thou forsaken us? Oh, it's dark. The winds are contrary to us. We're making no headway. We're trying to go in the way thou hast commanded us to go, and we cannot. Lord, help us. Lord, save us. But the Lord wasn't there. Not like he was when the storm broke on the Sea of Galilee earlier. And he arose and rebuked the wind. But dear friends, he saw them toiling in rowing. He hasn't hid his face from them. No, he came on all over, all walking on over all those troublesome waters. They wouldn't hinder the coming of the Lord in his time and his way. He did not despise nor abhor the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but in his time and his way he came. And oh, dear friends, the blessing when he came, how they rejoiced. And they were immediately at the place whither they went. Oh, John's Gospel tells us that. They were immediately at the place whither they went. Dear friends, that's us, isn't it? In our troubles, in our rowing, our toiling in rowing, pressing towards the mark, yes. But, oh, we make such little headway. But when he comes, everything appears to be right. He makes a way where there was no way. He provides where there was no provision. He gives where there was only poverty and loss. Oh, dear friends, whatever your case, spiritually for the blessing of your soul, providentially to be delivered from your trials and temptations, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what ye ask or think. For he hath not despised thee or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. Dear friends, he hears the cries of those in need, those who cry unto him in the time of trouble. But our times, dear friends, may always be ready. But our times are in his hand. He does hear. Although he may bear long with you, he may bear it with you. Well, that's a lovely word, isn't it? The Lord concerning his people. He will answer them speedily when his time comes, when his purpose comes, which is for the good of you providentially and spiritually. Though he bear long with you. Oh, what did we have on the Lord, upon the New Year's Day? That prayer of Moses. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He wanted to be carried. Carried from the womb. Carried to the end of his days. Oh, didn't David say something about that in this psalm? About being carried from the womb. Dear friends, there's nothing greater is there to know the Lord is mindful of us. Those evidences. He has been mindful of us. Oh, David says here, concerning, thou hast been my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling, from the power of the dog. Dear friends, that darling, that means that dedicated loved one. Was that not his soul? Save me from the lion's mouth. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye, seed of Israel. Why? Because he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of afflicted. When he cried unto him, he heard, and he answered. And we're to glorify him. Difference, what a difference there is in this second part of this Psalm 22 than the first part. It's like the first part. Oh yes, it's the power. It's the power of his crucifixion. How he suffered in the sinner's place. The second part is the power of his resurrection, where he has given the power to overturn a corruption, a condemnation because of sin. where he has given newness of life, eternal life unto the soul, to give praise and honour and glory to his name for his appearing. You think of those disciples when he was crucified. Now they hastened to that upper room in fear of the Jews, lest they should be killed also. It was like they were entrapped, ensnared in that upper room in Jerusalem, fearful to go outside, as Peter feared when they said, "Thou art also one of his." But when the Lord arose, when he appeared to them in that upper room, when he said, "Be not afraid, it is I. Peace be unto you. Behold my hands and my feet." Oh, this was the day of their salvation. This was the day of their blessing. This was the day, dear friends, when they were delivered from their fears. Christ had done all things for them, delivered them from the power of sin, and given them that glorious hope of eternal life. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, no. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. In all your affliction, he has been afflicted. Oh, what a comfort that is. He knows all these things. You cannot tell him anything in your prayers which he doesn't know anything about. He knows everything about you. And dear friends, therefore, to put away all the power of evil and sin from you, all your death, destruction and despair which can easily come upon you through Satan being that mighty foe, he will appear in the power of his resurrection. All this was done for you. Behold my hands and my feet, to give unto you eternal life and to keep you in the way everlasting all your days. Oh, he's prayed for you. He's prayed for his disciples, didn't he, Father? That thou will keep them from the evil. And dear friends, that's what we need, don't we? And has he not prayed for you? Has he prayed for Peter? That his faith fail not. Oh, what a glorious intercessor Christ is. To pray for us that our faith fail not. But to trust in him at all times. Ever to pour out our heart before him, telling him all the truth, all our matters, all our case, and to watch and wait for his appearing, that appearing in his power, of his love and mercy. Oh, even to say, "All this was done for you, and I will do all things for you. For God who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how much more shall he freely with him give us all things, all things." Then, dear friends, continue in prayer, confessing your sins, laying your matters before him. Our God is a faithful God. He will supply all your need according to those riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And through our prayers and supplications with thanksgiving, dear friends, that peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall rule our hearts through Christ Jesus. Oh, this is the way of faith, isn't it? The just shall live by faith. Upon him cast our care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. He heard, he knew. He knew what he would do. And dear friends, he would deliver. So do call upon him in the day of trouble. He shall deliver you, and thou shalt glorify him. Amen.